2 Kings 17, verses 6 through 18. So if you will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, I will read to you these verses. In the ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria, took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Habar by the river Gozan in the cities of the Medes. For so it was so that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols. Wherefore the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that they did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshiped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. You may be seated.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so very pleased to be here. And the first thing I want to say is thank you so much for your prayers during my time of illness, and also financial support, which allowed me to recover. It took a good 3 months, and I'm still a little bit in recovery. You can tell a little bit my voice is still a little raspy, and I quite haven't shaken this thing. But what happened was is that I got sick. I got this double pneumonia. I've never had it before. And, you know, I'm a naturopathic doctor, and, you know, I'm pretty strict with my diet, and, you know, I take my supplements and all of that. But I had tested four clients who were vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. And it's not a vaccination, it's a bioweapon. But I'm going to call it vaccination because that's what the narrative is. And it happened that I began to get sick, and we couldn't control it. And what happened was, I believe, was that I got a transference of spike proteins from the jab. I tested four people, and two of them were freshly vaccinated, and I didn't know at the time that this was going to be a problem for me, because I thought, well, it's not going to affect me. I'm healthy enough, and so forth. But in fact, the fact of the matter was, is that it did affect me tremendously, and I came down with this double pneumonia, and I couldn't control it. And Sandy's a pretty good practitioner. I've trained her, and we could not control it. And I had to go to urgent care, and I remember going in and lying down there, and the doctor, and I basically passed out. And I didn't even know that they wheeled me in to do a CAT scan. But they did, and the doctor comes back. He says, "You're very sick." He says, "We're going to admit you." And so they tried to, you know, without my knowing it, because I was unconscious, they tried to do that COVID test, you know, where they stick that big thing long up. When I felt that, I jerked away. And I said, "Don't do that." She goes, "Well, we have to test you for COVID." And I said, "Well, listen, if you're going to do that, please run the amplification cycles no more than 28. She goes, "What?" I said, "Because if you run it to 35 or more, it's going to come back as a false positive." Because I knew if I went to the COVID wing in a hospital, I would not be here talking with you. Well, it came back negative. They tried to do it again in the hospital because, you know, they get money for this kind of thing. It's interesting, one of my nurses in the hospital, she had come from the COVID wing. She had spent about 6 months there. And she said, "People were dying like flies." Well, they think they're dying of COVID, but they're not dying of COVID. And this was really before the vaccinations were beginning, you know. But they not necessarily dying of COVID. They were dying because Lord Fauci said, "You must use a certain kind of drug that shuts down your kidneys and liver, and you must put them on a ventilator, a sure sign of death. You can make sure that you're probably not going to get out of there." So the Lord was good to us, and thank you again for your prayers. You know, my wife Sandy, she and God saved my life. She'd come in every day with food and water, because I wouldn't eat the hospital food. I remember the first day, I was in there May 18th. I went to the ICU May 18th, and I was passed out. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. And I was unconscious. And it was interesting because I was praying in my spirit. I was unconscious, but I was praying in my spirit. And I was addressing the Lord, and I said, "Lord, if you take me, or you let me stay, whatever you want to do is fine with me." Because I firmly believe in your forgiveness of sins and my trespasses, and I fully affirm your justification by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what I said. I said, "But if you choose to take me, all I ask is you to take care of my wife, and I know you will." That's exactly what I said. And then I passed out. I woke up sometime during the night, and I was, believe it was the morning of the 19th of May, which was my birthday. And the nurse came in, and she saw me conscious, and she said, "Do you need anything?" And I said, "I'd sure like a cup of ice, because my mouth was dry and I was thirsty." And that morning, Sandy came over and she brought me some food, and the doctors were hovering around, wondering what to do with me. And they were talking about doing a lung wash. Now, a lung wash is where they put you to sleep and they do whatever they do and wash out your lungs. And I said, I told Sandy, I lost my voice, so I had to whisper to her to write these things down to tell the doctors how the cow ate the cabbage. And I said, "You're not going to do that, because if you do that, I'll never wake up." And they said, "Well, thinking about putting you on a ventilator." I said, "No ventilator." I said, "Well, then you're going to have to sign a DNR, a do not resuscitate." I said, "Fine, give me the piece of paper." So I signed it. And I told the doctors, and most of them were foreign. This is in San Antonio, right? This is a very foreign place, like 80% non-white. I told the doctors, I don't care if I live or I die, but I'm not going to die by your hand. And they were shocked. They were going, you know, who is this guy? Well, they found out that we were, you know, the talk around the, you know, I was kind of the odd duck in the ICU. And they got to talking about it, and they knew we were Christians and so forth. It's kind of interesting because my room number was 777. And they were talking about it, and I don't know if they understood that maybe God was in that room or I'd won the jackpot. One of the nurses, and one of the last nurses that I had before I was transferred to another room out of ICU, was named Brittany. She wrote her name on the whiteboard in front of me. I said, your name is Brittany? She goes, yeah. I thought, I may be in ICU, but I'm still witnessing. I said, do you know what your name means? She goes, no. She says, well, let me explain, because I think you'd be very interested. Your first part of your name, Brit, it comes from the Hebrew word brith, which means covenant. The last part of your name, T-A-I-N, is land, land of the covenant. And then I began to explain about Britain and how the Hebrews migrated up to Britain. I said, maybe you're an Israelite. She goes, well, I'm part Welsh. I said, good. Well, I didn't ask about the other part, but she looked awfully white to me. And you can tell in San Antonio, believe me. It's kind of interesting. She was a single gal, about 25 years old or so, and she was she was preparing me to transfer out of ICU. So they had to take these little adhesive patches off my chest, right, that monitored my vital signs. By the way, the doctors couldn't understand because they said, you know, this guy's really sick, but his vital signs are great. Couldn't figure it out. I wasn't going to tell much more. Just didn't understand. Anyway, so Brittany was peeling off these small adhesive patches and pulling my hair out little by little, just very agonizing, you know. I'm going, She goes, I'm really sorry. And she starts on another one, and she breaks out in prayer and says, Lord, don't give me a hairy man. I said, Brittany, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it myself. So I'm just a rip, 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 rip. So, you know, the experience was interesting. But the Lord saved my life and used Sandy to save my life. It's like I never had any control of whether I would live or die. It's the first time in my life that I felt that I never had control. And it was all dependent upon God, whatever God wanted to do. And I'm sure I'll probably be in that position again, but you know something? I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and his justification by grace through faith. When you're facing eternal future, you know, you've got to have a foundation. Can you say that for yourself before God? Before I got sick, 2 months before, I had two dreams. I'm not a dreamer. I don't dream. At least I don't remember the dreams. And just before I woke one morning, there was a black cobra head right here, staring right at me with yellow eyes, and took up my whole viewing. I mean, I couldn't see much of anything else except maybe the corners. And out the bottom right-hand corner was a forked black tail. Very interesting. And I stared at this thing. I wasn't afraid of it. And it was just, it didn't move. And it was just staring right at me. And then I woke and I go, Oh, well, that was an interesting little vision. But I got the impression, and I speak with for all of us, that we have a message that cuts right to the heart of everything that's going on today and really is the solution to remedy this whole thing. And I thought, there's somebody that doesn't like our message. I had another dream. And we were just a small group of people. We were on a cliff overlooking the ocean. And down below was the beach, and very far down, we must have been up 1,000 feet. And we were in a glass enclosure. And everything was very calm, sunny, calm. And then all of a sudden, from the right to the left, waves began to form. And they got higher and higher. You could feel the wind blowing. And it got so rough that no seagoing vessel could be on it. And then, from the right, there comes this massive, dark, gray, black storm. You could hear it coming. And it was coming through the ocean, but it was coming toward the beach, and it was coming toward us. And our little group got in the corner on the right-hand side and sat down, and we prayed that God would save us. I thought to myself, wow, that was an impressive dream. And I think I know the interpretation, that we are in a period of great darkness. We haven't seen anything yet. It's dark, but it's going to get darker. And this is where we have to have perspective, and this is where we have to prepare. We are going through severe judgment. Our people are going through severe judgment. And the darkness, it's like God has taken his hands off of the restraints of the wicked and evil and just let it loose. And that's what we're experiencing. But it hasn't gotten darker yet. But it's going to. The sins of our people, we talked about it today, we prayed about it. The corruption in politics, the courts, and the churches. And there comes a time when God must destroy because there's no other remedy. Our people have been given a spirit of delusion. It's like in 2 Thessalonians, where back in the first century, where God gave the people a delusion because they refused to love the truth. And that's where we're at. It's kind of amazing to me that we have now all these tools. You know, we've got books, we've got Pastor Ramsey's books, we've got the boot camp and so forth, and we have the tools. But I'll tell you, it's hard to communicate to our people. They're just like it's, they either don't get it or they react so negatively against it, they just run away. But it's life. We're talking about life and the kingdom of God and righteousness and peace and joy and so forth. And as we watch and things unfold, we need to start thinking about how to prepare. Time to get a new perspective and take action. It's great to pray, but we have to take our responsibilities and obligations. And I'm going to be talking about that. And if we take into account what is happening and why, we can renew our minds and begin to prepare for the days ahead. We hold the knowledge and understanding, a message of hope of salvation and deliverance in and through God's covenant people, in and through their local churches. And that's what Pastor Ramsey, Pastor Elmore and I are going to be talking about today. Because we know that's the answer. I want to talk a little bit about the examples of judgment. If you think that this is what is strange is going on in America and in the lands of Israel, it's not strange. Everything that has happened in the past are happened as examples and illustrations for us. For example, in Genesis 6:5, God had to bring a flood to destroy, I don't know how many people, we really don't know how many people, it must have been tens of thousands, though, at least, by a flood, because the scripture says in Genesis 6:5 that their minds and their attitudes and their thoughts were continually wicked all the time. There was no other remedy. God had to destroy it. And then the same went for Sodom. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham was listening to the Lord talking about this, and he said, "Shall I reveal to Abraham what I'm about to do? Because the sin of Sodom is now exceedingly wicked." See, there comes to a point where it's so exceedingly wicked, God has to destroy. And God did destroy, as you know. And then the land of Canaan. The land had become defiled. And so what happened? God told Israel to go and eliminate all the land, all the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and so forth, and kill them all. Because there was no redemption. Things had gone too far. In Exodus 32, 3,000 were killed in one day because they made a golden calf. In Numbers 14, God condemns an entire generation of millions of Israelites because they refused to go into the land and obey. 14,000 were killed in a plague, the rebellion of Korah. In Numbers 16, and we're estimating in Numbers 21 that at least 58,000 were killed for the rebellion of the fiery serpents. Remember that story? 24,000 were killed with commingling with the Midianite women. How many times in Judges did our Israelite people go into captivity and slavery because they disobeyed? Over and over and over until God had compassion and he sent judges to deliver them. And we just read the scripture today, Pastor Elmore read, about the captivity of the house of Israel. Taken away from your land and sent to another land. How difficult would that be for you to be uprooted from your house and taken to another land? Wow. I think we have to think about that one. That's a heavy, severe judgment. Do you think anything has changed? Especially when the Lord Jesus now has come and we have so trampled on the truth of who he was and what he did and the kingdom of God. Do you think that God is going to allow this thing to continue? I think it's come to a point of no return. I think God is judging his people. He's judging his land that he gave to us. There comes a point when God has had enough, and he will not allow his holy name to be treated with contempt. And he is doing that now to us. You know the history of America. You know, 1861 to 1864, what was that? War between the states. When we were hoodwinked both North and South into war, fighting over a non-issue, which was slavery at the time, and it was really an economic war, as you know. How many thousands, tens of thousands of our people killed each other? The Federal Reserve System, 1913, was the beginning of the takeover of the United States of America. And then we had World War I. We were hoodwinked into that, too. And we were lied about it. Did the pastor stand up and say, no, wait a minute. We need to investigate this. We're not going to allow our people to go to war for no good reason. But nobody stood up. If they did, there were very few. and tens of thousands of our people, and we killed each other. We killed the Germans. We killed everybody else. And then World War II. That was a false flag operation, too. But where were the pastors? Where were the churches to stand up and say, that's enough? We're not going to obey. We're not going to go down the patriot route and go against our brethren. But they didn't. They could have, and that's what the church was supposed to do. But they let the wolf in the sheep pen. And the wolf was ravishing the sheep. And then what we did after the war, with the Rhine camps hurting tens of thousands and ultimately a million German soldiers into these Rhine camps all over Europe, putting barbed wire around them, putting them shoulder to shoulder in exposure and cold and no food and no water, and they starved them to death. And we were a part of that. And you think God is not judging us for that now? And how about the 50,000 German officers who were summarily executed? We were a part of that. Maybe we didn't do it specifically, but we allowed the Bolsheviks to do it. And how about the rape and the torture and everything else that happened after that war? It was disgusting. And we are ashamed of such a thing. And then we had Korea. 50,000 of our people, most of them our people, died. And then we had Vietnam in the 60s. And that was a fiasco. The churches didn't stand up and say anything. It was not even a war. It was a United Nations police action. And they used our people to do it. And nobody stood in the gap and said, no, that's enough. And then we have the churches. You know, I subscribe to Christianity Today magazine. Now, Christianity Today magazine was founded by Billy Graham in the 1960s. And they've got, I don't know how many readerships across the world. I get it because it's good cannon fodder. It's good sermon material. I want to keep up with what's going on. And I get a lot of good ideas for teaching. This one was the December edition. I'm going to show you a bigger picture about Joseph, the father of Jesus Christ, not the father of Jesus Christ, but the one who was chosen to lead him. And I want to show you a big blow up, the main article. You see that? Joseph with Negroid features and kinky hair. And if you look closely at the baby Jesus, Negro features. What an abomination. That's how far the churches of evangelical Christianity, Protestant Christianity, has gone. Currently writing a book. I'm really excited about this because this is going to be a primer to give to people about what we believe. And I don't want you to spread it around, the title, because it's a working title, but it's called The Authentic Gospel. And the subtitle is Restoring the Original Intent. And I'm going to find some common ground in the gospel, but then I'm going to let them have it about what is going on and why they are wrong about the recipients of the gospel of the kingdom, as Jesus preached it. This is why we're being judged. This is a picture of why, where we have gone. Is there any redemption? I'm doing the research on the denominations and churches in America and their stance on racism and white supremacy. And man, are they coming out strong with it. I'm going to reveal it. They're being led down the primrose path. I don't think there's any turning back for the apparatus of Christianity today. It's gone that bad. And then one more I want to show you. This is an advertisement for International Ministries. And it says you can help bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to 70 countries around the world through the work of International Ministries. And their caption is, "Together for the greater good." Where does that phrase come from?
Communism.
Marxist communism. For the greater good. They're coming out and telling you, this is a communist movement. Guys of the guys under Christianity. It's false. This is why God is judging. When we saw this whole thing start in March 2020, we saw the beginning of a dialectic. You know what I mean by dialectic? You create a problem, you create a solution, and then you come in with the real answer that they want. That's what's happening here. We're into a dialectic. A dialectic of a pandemic. And now that pandemic is global. Do you know why it's global? Because they want to set up an international court called Nuremberg II. And already there has been filings in the court against all these actors, Fauci and everybody else, about how they're going to bring them down and expose them. Wonderful. But it's international. They want to introduce the international court for the relief and the remedy. Now we can get back to normal. Now these guys are going to hang. Nuremberg 2. What happened in Nuremberg 1? It was a fiasco. It was a setup. It was a scam. That's what it's going to be here. So you have this, create a situation, create such oppression in people that they want to get back to normal. And then you say, okay, 14 days to flatten the curve. Oh, that's great. What do we have to do? Put on your mask and social distance. What else, Brad?
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Wash your hands.
So many seconds to quarantine.
Lockdown. And then 14 days passed. Up, a little bit more. We're getting progress. And the people were, everything was shut down. We're going to shut everything down. And we're going to keep it shut down. And the people were getting oppressed. See, that was the dialectic. Create a problem, create a solution, the mass, the lockdowns, and so forth. And now what's the solution? Bring in the vaccine. Because there we can go back to normal. Salvation has come. Now, a lot of people have taken this jab, and a lot of people are dying. A lot of people are suffering. What's kind of interesting to me is to watch this whole scenario unfold, and you can almost see it coming. I don't know if you saw, did you see that, you know, First Baptist Church of Dallas, Robert Jeffries is the pastor, Jeffress. And they have a huge, humongous church. I mean, this thing. Pastor Jeffries invited Donald Trump to speak. And Pastor Jeffries was elated with Mr. Trump because he was such a good friend to Israel. Now, he never talked about the vaccines. He never talked about his role in the warp speed vaccine. All I know is that I saw a lot of standing ovations in that church for Mr. Trump. But people forget what Mr. Trump had done. Yeah, he did some good things, no question about it. He brought us in. He folded us in. And then in February of 2019, he launched the global effort to end the criminalization of homosexuality. global effort, not just a national effort, a global effort. And then in May of 2019, he tweets during Celebrate Pride Month, all the nations to join in an effort to legalize homosexuality. And then in December of 2019, he signs an executive order to fight anti-Semitism on U.S. campuses. And he's standing in a church pretending he's a Christian, and the pastor is giving him accolades, and the congregation is giving him standing ovations. Something is not right in this. But the interesting thing is that he's coming more and more to the forefront, and now he's going to have a social media platform. And he's going to spread his message far and wide. We can get this country back because it's really deteriorating. Yeah, and yeah, it's true, it's deteriorating. Everybody knows it, anybody who sees what's happening. And he can come right in. And by the way, the same day he was at First Baptist Church, before that, he was doing an interview with Bill O'Reilly. And they were promoting the vaccinations. And Bill O'Reilly was sitting in this part. There was a table and then Mr. Trump. And Bill O'Reilly says, I got my booster. Did you get yours? And Trump said, I sure did. And then Trump began to chide those who were not vaccinated. And he took credit for saving hundreds of millions of lives. That's what he said. Hundreds of millions of lives, and we did it. When it's exactly the opposite. Where hundreds of thousands of people have died and over a million adverse effects. And he's talking about that. There is something wrong here. I voted for the guy in 2016. This is the first time I voted in 30 years. Because I thought, well, you know, maybe there's a chance here. And he turned out to be the Pied Piper. And now if he gets in, I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. Because the global cabal of this world, the elite, want one thing and one thing only, and put the white people under total slavery and subjection. You know how they're going to do that? What's the one thing they really need to get done? It's not just the vaccinations. It's a global digital currency, cashless. And when they do that, they have got us. And there's nothing you can do about it in that system. So I think it's going to get darker. But God has to destroy. We might see things unfold like that, but don't fear. This is what God is doing. God is destroying. He's setting up the whole apparatus to be destroyed, and he's going to take a lot of white people with it. And I hate to see it, but it's got to happen. There is no return at this point. There is no redemption, no repentance. That's what I see. But God has provided an answer, and we have the knowledge and understanding from the Word of God of that answer. And the answer is that this country and the countries of Israel will be transformed in and through his local churches of his covenant people. It's the plan that has always been and revealed in Scripture. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to prepare. Get the right perspective. Don't fear, but it's time to prepare. And what I mean by preparing is very practical. Food, water. You need food and water, and you need a year of it, if you can. And I like to tell people, look, you know, the supply chains are being broken even now. The food is getting more scarce, and even the good food. you can't get parts for a lot of things. When the farmers can't get parts to produce crops, guess what's going to happen? There's not going to be enough of it, and the prices are going to go sky high. You have got to prepare and prepare locally, individually, and as a church. How can you do that? Get to know a local farmer. Get to know a local rancher who has beef. Good quality beef. You need that kind of food to sustain you. You need good water. What if they decide to say, well, we see you don't have your vaccination card here. You know, we're going to have to put a little pressure on you. I'm going to cut off your food supply for a while, kind of cut off your water, going to cut off your electricity. You need to start preparing, really. There's a group out in Oregon called Azure Standard. How many are familiar with Azure Standard? Azure Standard. They're one of us. They know who we are. And they do monthly national truck routes, and they deliver food, commodities, bulk food. And you can get on their list. Azure Standard, look them up and get on their list and look at everything that they have, and they'll bring it to you. Next thing, if you can get out of debt, if you can reduce your expenses, prioritize your needs. And if you have excess cash, buy something of a commodity, like land if you can, tools. How about guns and ammo? Because I'll tell you one thing, and I'll go back to the farmers. You know what's happening now is that I don't think it's the FDA. I think it has to do with a national veterinary deal. But they're bringing in COVID vaccine for animals in zoos. And I read an article not too long ago that said we're going to be experimenting with zoos all around the country to see what's going to happen with these animals. And then it said, but the FDA at this time does not think that this will be needed for farm animals. Oh, yes, it will. That's what they're planning. So you better be able to defend the local rancher or farmer from them going in and forcibly injecting their animals. And then the beef is no good. Then the lamb is no good. It's poison. And those animals will die. So you got to think ahead. You got to think ahead. What's their plan? What are they going to do? Get practical about it. And if you're in a Fed bank, try to get out of the Fed bank. Don't support them. Get into a community bank where there are local investors that are in that, you know, supporting that local. They're going to be much more lenient in times when things start to get banking crazy out there. They're going to be more lenient about helping you through the situation. Get to know your local sheriff. In the county, there's nobody who can come in, from Interpol to the FBI to the executive state police, and come in without his authorization. Get to know him. Get to know your mayor. Get to know the local council. Get to know the health board. Tell them you're praying for them, but you're going to help them understand what the situation is. It's practical stuff that we need to do. Get to know your state legislators. They can stand between the Fed and the state. We still have that apparatus in place. Let's do it. And then may I say that we need to be really concerned about our health. You know, I'm speaking as a naturopathic doctor. And you know, there's a practice that I started here in Kentucky, Florence, Kentucky. And I gave it over to a registered nurse. She has a great story, by the way. And she developed this thing. She's moved out of the old, where we were, and into a new building. and she has like tons of room, and she has three other practitioners beside herself. They must see at least 300 people a week. That's how good they are. You want to get help with the health and do it right? Go see them. And there are other practitioners around. Well, I don't have the money. Well, find it somewhere and get help. Because if we don't, we just keep declining and declining. And then we get into the medical system. And then we become medical wreckage. And then you can't get help. And then Pastor Ramsey was talking about warfare. I'm going to end here in a minute. Spiritual warfare, Ephesians chapter 6. How many times does Paul command, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Say no to masks. Say no to lockdowns. Say no to vaccines. And keep it up. And let God deliver you. Spiritual warfare. To come before the living God and say, Lord, we have given them notice. We have given them the facts. We've given them the science. And they refuse to budge. Now we ask that you apply your power to them and teach them that they cannot defy you. The church is the living witness in the local community. Stop holding out hope that this thing is going to return to normal. We are in a war. We are living in a time when the enemy is coming in like a flood, and it's not going to stop. It's going to get darker. Know, however, that God is doing something here, what must be done. And he's taking his people to task once again, and it's going to be a mess. But he has to do that because it's irredeemable at this point. And he is judging and cleansing his people, and the only solution is to establish New Covenant local assemblies. And that's what we're trying to do. And you have the tools. Got a call from one of the people who come here. He couldn't come here today because he's preaching at another church, but he said, I gave brother the boot camp, and he's just lapping it up. You know, look for opportunities to have a conversation with people. Now, my wife has some cards, Bible Mastery Bootcamp cards. If you don't know how to start a conversation, just give it. Just, would you take this, please? And would you, like, I think you're going to like that. And we also brought another card. She's going to pass them out here in a minute. It's called nomaskers.org. Nomaskers.org. And we have one sitting with us who developed that whole system and is monitoring it daily. It is the best compendium of all the science that you need to know. You can look up anything and you can go right to the science and get educated. People need to get educated. Give them that card too. You see, we have tools. And use those tools. It's time to rebuild. We are coming, I believe, to an end of an age, but the beginning of a new age. This age has to end. And God is doing that right now, and that's why it has to get darker. But never fear. Know the perspective. This is God's work. And it is our sacred duty to hold out the word of life to people who need to be saved out of this deception. The promises that God made to Abraham will be and must be fulfilled. Never forget that. That is the anchor of our soul. Isn't that right, Pastor Emil? That's what Hebrews says. And this is the opportunity to lead the way. You are the people who God has chosen to live in this time right now. And you still have a job to do. I know some of you don't feel well, but you have a job to do still. Take advantage of engaging in a conversation. Cast the bread of biblical truth upon the waters. We're prepared. We're prepared to respond. Sandy and I have spent the last 25 years developing what we've developed so it would be tools for you. Use them. And let's see what God does. But hang in there. Keep the right perspective and keep getting prepared, so that you don't become vulnerable. And always remember, God is your healer, God is your provider, and God is the shield about you and the lifter of your head. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.